as long as you're sharing the light with me, and I was able to share it with them tonight, tomorrow I'm going to be down in Rushford. So I'm going to take the light with me so I can tell them about once God puts his light in us, we got to share it. We can't keep it, right? It wouldn't do any good just to take it home. Tomorrow there'll be a bunch of kids down there, and we'll be sharing the light with them, okay? This little light of mine. You see, that's what Paul's getting at in his letter to the church at Philippi. They locked him up, right? They put his light into a deep, dark cell, a prison cell that was probably rat-infested. And the only way you got any food or clothes is if somebody was nice enough to bring it to you. A lot different from our jails and prisons today. And so they were trying to extinguish his light, or they were trying to shut him up. And that's what Paul is saying. In his first chapter of his letter to the church at Philippi, he said, they tried to put a muzzle on me. They tried to keep me quiet. They tried to silence me. But you know what God did? He gave me a megaphone. Yeah, a megaphone, a microphone, right? In other words, Paul is giving a shout out. He's giving a shout out to God and saying, you know, Jesus is the reason I live. So go ahead and make my day. Take my life. What do you think you can do? You take my life, you give me an instant, amazingly instantaneous transportation to heaven where I get more Jesus. For me to live, Paul says, is Jesus. And to die? More Jesus, right? That's a forever light. It's not going to go out. And if it's in you, then that means that sin and death and darkness, nothing can touch you. Because that light of Jesus is in you, and it's forever. Paul is saying that, and you see, they tried to lock him up in a prison, but God took that prison and made it into a pulpit. Pretty cool. This is what Paul says. It may sound like an oxymoron, but Paul says, the gospel is advancing. I'm in a rat-infested prison. But I got a pulpit, and I have all these pagans around me, and I get to tell them about Jesus. In other words, God has given him a mission field right there in the prison. And he may be suffering terribly, unjustly, but he says, I count it all joy. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? You're in prison, you're locked up, you're suffering, you're being persecuted, and yet you say, I'm a happy man. I get to tell people about Jesus. Talk about having a life. Talk about having a perspective, right? Go ahead, Paul says, take your best shot. God's just going to use it to preach the gospel, to get the word out, the light of the world. So that's what Paul is saying, that we have an amazing God, and God wants us to tell the story, to shout it out. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. You know that story. Every time I tell it, it's more wonderfully sweet because there's some who have never heard it. So Paul is in fact being evangelical. He's shouting it out. He's not whispering it. He's not keeping silent. They can't muzzle him because they can't muzzle the gospel. They can't extinguish the light of Jesus that God has placed in you. Well, I suppose you can play those games and quench the spirit, but they can't touch the light because the light of Jesus is forever. And Paul is singing it. In fact, he's not just celebrating it himself. At the end of Philippians, Paul will say, rejoice always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let all people know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. He's here. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, right, will guard you, keep your hearts in Christ Jesus. God's going to put a guard on you. You see, Paul is under guard. You see what he's saying? But instead, we've got another guard. We've got a guard that's got us covered, protecting us, and it's the peace of Jesus. All of our lessons for tonight proclaim the amazing grace of God. How inscrutable are His ways? Can you fathom them? I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around this God. That's what Isaiah 55 is saying. The Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As higher as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You can't put God in a box. He's sovereign. He's Lord. He calls the shots. He gets to do as He pleases. Do you begrudge my generosity? Is your eye evil because I'm good? Take what is yours. Get out of here. Take what is yours. Get out of here. I choose to give the last as I give the first. Does that bother you? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. An alternative first reading for tonight is a reading from Jonah. Some people will be hearing that in their congregations tomorrow. You know the story of Jonah. Jonah is a recalcitrant prophet. He's disobedient. God says, "Go over to Nineveh because I'm giving you a megaphone." And what does Jonah do? "Oh, I think I'm going to put a muzzle on it. They don't deserve your grace. They can go to Hades for all I'm concerned," right? That's what Jonah says. So he goes running away from the Lord. He gets on a ship. There's a big storm. He gets thrown overboard, and God says, "Hey, fishy, come here. I got a job for you." I mean, it's a big fish. It's not just a whale of a story either. "Go there and swallow up my prophet." He thinks he can run away from me. He thinks he can run away from me. "Hey, fishy, you go show him who's the boss. You go show him who calls the shots around here." So the fish swallows him, and he's as good as dead. And he starts to pray. And you know what he finally discovers? It's a beautiful confession. Chapter 2 of Jonah. "Deliverance belongs to the Lord." Got that right, Jonah. So he gets delivered. The fish spits him out on dry land. And God says, "Now you're ready to go do my work? I gave you a megaphone. Stop muzzling it. I got a good word to speak." So he does go the second time, dragging his feet. 5 words in Hebrew, all kind of negative. No hope, no grace. 40 days, Nineveh destroyed. Yes! I mean, they were wicked people. And wicked people deserve to be destroyed, right? I mean, they're sinners. Send them to hell, right? That's what they deserve. Well, here's an amazing thing happens. Because God's thoughts and God's ways are not our thoughts and our ways. You know what happens? You know what happens. You know the story of Jonah. He gives them no hope at all. And from the king all the way down to the animals, everybody repents. Everybody repents and says, "We've done wrong. Can God forgive us?" They don't know. They really don't. But they're going to repent anyway and say they're sorry and try to clean up their act. And God sees what they do, and God doesn't destroy them. And what does Jonah do? Yes. No. He doesn't. He doesn't give God a shout out. He doesn't say, "Hip, hip, hooray." You know what he does? He said, "That's why I didn't want to come here in the first place. Your reputation precedes you. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You don't even know what fair is." Oh, you want fair, huh, Jonah? Is that how you want to live, by fair? Let's see how that's going to work for you. Well, Jonah pouts. And as the story comes to an end, the Lord says to him, "So, Jonah, you're kind of ticked off, huh?" "Yeah, angry enough to die." "Well, so you have pity for this plant that I created in one day and it died in one day. And you don't give squat about 120 little ones in Nineveh who don't know their right hands from their left hands, like little Charlie, right? I mean, they're little. You don't care about those little ones? And all those cattle?" And the story ends with a question mark. I mean, it's like a parable of the parable of our gospel reading for tonight. Is your eye evil because I'm good, God says? I mean, imagine giving God the evil eye. Imagine that. Is your eye evil because I'm good? Take what is yours and skedaddle. Now, I love what he says. This is the master of the house. This is the owner of the vineyard. This is the one who is the boss. He's sovereign. He calls the shots. You don't like how I run my place? Then hit the road. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. That's just the way it is. But think about this. He says, take what is yours and go. Think about it. I mean, seriously. What's he going to take with him? He owns nothing. There's only one thing that that laborer owns that he can claim as his own. You know what that is? His sin. And the wages of sin is death. Go ahead. You want to stick with your sin? Let's see how far that gets you. To death and beyond. Eternal separation from God. So go ahead. You don't like the way I do things? Take what is yours and go. I choose to give to the last as I give to the first. Well, we call that grace, don't we? God's unearned love and mercy for sinners. Not what we deserve, but what God chooses to give. Well, we know it's not cheap grace because it cost Jesus his life on the cross. We know it's not cheap grace because in 612 BC, do you know what happened in Nineveh? Well, they went back to their old ways. They decided that repentance was once and done. Not going to work that way. They thought that they could call the shots and do as they please. Not going to work that way. They decided to embrace wickedness, and in 612 BC, the city was leveled. Remember, the Lord is your light and your salvation. He's sovereign. He calls the shots. He gets to do as he pleases. Does that bother you? Shouldn't surprise you. Remember last week's gospel? Peter says, okay, when's enough enough? Somebody, they do it to me once, they do it to me twice, they do it to me three times. The rabbis even say, three strikes and you're out. Peter says, I'm feeling generous today. I've been doing a little math. 2 times 3 is 6, plus 1 is 7. 7's a perfect number. How about 7, Jesus? Is that enough? And Jesus says, put your slide rule away. Put your scorecard away. 70 times 7. Oh, okay, that's to carry that. 40. You can see Jesus shaking his head. How often do you want to be forgiven, Peter? 3 times, 7 times? You think that's going to be enough to get you into heaven? A little bit of mercy? A little bit of grace? Good luck with that. 70 times 7. That's the way God chooses to operate. And if you want to be in God's kingdom, forgiven and forgiving. Reconciled and reconciling. God puts his light in us for a reason. Not so that we can hang on to it and keep it to ourselves, but so that we can share it with a Baba who might share it with other people as well. You see? I love to tell the story. I bet you do too. Paul does. He's got a megaphone, and they can't muzzle him. They can't shut him up. God has made his prison a pulpit. It's all about grace, and you know how grace works. Well, let me give you an illustration. A man dies, he goes to heaven, and who's there to meet him at the pearly gates? St. Peter. Welcome. You know, you can only get into heaven if you've got 100 points. What do you mean 100 points? Yeah, didn't anybody tell you about that? You can only get into heaven if you've got 100 points. Well, what do I got to do to get 100 points? He said, well, tell me what you did with your life on earth. He said, well, I was married to the same woman for over 50 years. Hey, that's pretty good, Peter said. That's going to be worth 3 points. 3 points? What else have you done? Well, I'll baptized, I was confirmed, I served in church council, I was a tither. I went to church every week. Oh, that's good, Peter says. I'll give you another point for that. What a point? What else you got? Well, I helped start a soup kitchen, and I volunteered, and I worked at a homeless shelter for veterans. Oh, that's good. That's two more points. Two more points? Four, three, four, five, six. Gee, money, at this rate, I'm never going to get into heaven except by the grace of God. Ding, 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 ding. 100 points. Come on in. Your neighbor needs your good works. You think God does? The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Take what is yours and go. You got nothing. Oh, you may think you do. Got property, titles, pensions. You may think, right? You got nothing. It's all God's. It's all God's stuff. And he puts it into your hands so that you get to share it, huh? Share the light with other people. Or think about this story. Because we have a generous God. So, a father has two sons. He teaches them how to farm. From the time they're just little and walking, he teaches them how to take care of animals and how to grow crops. And they get old enough, they have their chores. And then the father gets older, and he can't do the chores anymore, so the boys do it instead. And then the father dies. And the boys have been working all these years together, they're brothers. So what happens? Well, every year they have a harvest, and they divide it right down the middle, 50-50. But all of a sudden, after years of harvest, the boys start thinking, the brothers, and the older one who's not married says, you know, this really isn't fair, because I've only got me to take care of. My brother's married, he's got 8 kids, that's 10 of them, he needs more. But if I go to him, he's going to say, we're not renegotiating this. So he decides that at night, he's going to pack up some of his crop, his grain, and take it out of his barn and put it over in his brother's barn, and nobody needs to know. Well, the younger brother, he starts to think too. He says, you know, this isn't fair. I've got 8 kids to take care of me and my wife when we get old. My brother, he's not married, he doesn't have anybody, he's all alone. He should have more, but I know that he's not going to renegotiate this. I know what I'll do. At night, I'll pack up some bags of my grain, and I'll take it over to my brother's barn and put it in his barn. And then, one night when there's a full moon, the two brothers meet face to face and discover what's been happening. And you know what happened? The rabbi who told the parable, he said, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, but a gentle rain began to fall. You know what that is? The rabbi said, that's the tears of God. God is weeping with joy to see that those who have been created in his image understand his generosity. Created in God's image so that we can know that it all belongs to him. And we can go ahead and share it with others. Forgiven and forgiving, reconciled and reconciling, no limit to infinity and beyond when it comes to forgiveness. Yeah, Jonah had a reason to be upset. Everybody knows that when push comes to shove, you're gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and I don't like it. Really, Jonah? You don't like the way I work? You probably don't want to work in my vineyard, huh? I mean, look at the gospel for tonight. It's a beautiful story. First thing you find out is that he is the master of the house. He's the boss. He's the Lord. He's the master of the house. The king is the ruler, and he gets to set the rules of operandum. How life is going to be lived in his kingdom, right? Well, this man who is the master of the house also owns a vineyard. And you know what he loves? Make hay while the sun is shining. make wine before the grapes rot. There's nothing that bothers this master more than to see good fruit wasted. It makes him weep. So what does he do? Well, the fields are white for harvest. He sends out more laborers. Ha, he does. 6 o'clock in the morning, you know how it works, right? 2,000 years ago in Palestine, the day laborer from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 hours, and what was the wage? 1 denarius. Because that's what you got paid at the end of the day, that's what you needed to take care of your family, to feed them, to put bread on the table. So he goes at 6 a.m. and he says, you, I got some fruit that needs to be harvested. And they go, so the wage is? He says, it's a denarius, you know. And they go and work. And then at 9 o'clock he goes out and he says, I need some more workers. You. He sends them out. And he promises, I'll give you what's right. I'll give you what's right. You already know there's going to be an interesting twist, don't you? Because who gets to decide what's right? You? Me? I'm not the master of the house. And neither are you. But the Lord is. He calls the shots. He's sovereign. He gets to decide what's fair, what's right. So he sends some more out at noon, some more out at 3, 5 o'clock, an hour before quitting time. I mean, is this crazy or what? And he says, well, you've been standing around all day, idle, doing nothing. Well, nobody's hired us. Huh, really? I don't know what they didn't see. Get out there. I got work for you. And then he has his foreman at the end of the day, right? The whistle blows. Remember that Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble, that kind of stuff? Ooh, you know, you get the whistle that blows at the end of the day. And then what happens? They get paid. But the master of the house, the owner of the vineyard, he says, start with the ones that were hired last. Oh, okay. The last to be first, the first to be last. That's how it started before the parable began. It brackets it. And so he comes in, and you know what everybody's thinking. Okay, how do you divide a denarius into 12 pieces? I mean, this guy's in trouble, right? These guys, that's what happens when you only work for an hour. He gets a denarius. They get denariuses. The last one's hired. Only an hour work, they get a whole denarius. So what happens? Well, you can see the calculators going. You can see people doing the math, can't you? You see how it fits in with last week's lesson? They're doing the math. And they're saying, okay, wait a minute now. A denarius for 12 hours usually, but this guy's crazy. Maybe crazy in love, crazy in generosity, but he's crazy. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. 1 denarius for 1/12 of... Jeepers, that means I've been here 12 hours. I'm going to get 12 denarii. This is a great day. Wait till I go home and tell my wife about this story, huh? What happens? When he gets up there, give it to me, boss. Here's your denarius. What? 12 hours in this hot sun. This was a hot day today. You know that. Imagine being out there for 12 hours on a day like this. This isn't right. And the owner says, wait a minute now. We shook hands. We started the day off. We shook hands. We said, denarius. That's what people get paid for 12 hours. We shook hands, right? I promised you to give you what's right and fair, a denarius. Have I gone back on my word? Didn't I give you exactly what I promised? He's ticked off. I mean, he is. And so the only thing you can do with a scoundrel, like the guy that was forgiven 10,000 talents and goes out after somebody that only owes him 100 denarii, you got to lock him up until they figure out what life in God's kingdom is all about. Take what is yours. You don't want to work for a boss like me? Go see what you get in some other fields. For me to live, Paul says, is Jesus. For me to die, Paul says, is more Jesus. And I'm going to give a shout out for God every day. You go ahead and try to find a muzzle you think you can put on this mouth. You go ahead and try to get rid of my pulpit, Paul says, because God has shown me that he's even going to use a prison cell as a way to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. So go ahead. Work for me. or take what is yours, your sin, which is only going to bankrupt you, and see where it gets you. Now, some of you know I worked on a farm, grew up on a farm, worked for Jim Donahue. And one week in the summer, we were pulling mustard out of mustard plants out of the oats fields, and we were baling hay and stuff like that. At the end of the week, Jim Donahue, a neighbor, good friend of the family, he was going to pay us. My brother and I were working. I was 3.5, 4 years older than my brother. Need I say, who was the more productive? I mean, if you've got an 8th grade brother, 9th grade, and you're like a junior, senior in high school, give me a break. You know what I'm talking about, right? No question about who worked harder, who accomplished more, who had greater productivity. And you're looking at them. So Jim Donahue, we knew that we should get about 50, 60 bucks, maybe 70, 75. He writes out a check for my brother. You know what he gets? $100. That's a lot for an 8th grader. $100. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, this guy is either generous or he's crazy. So then he writes out a check for me. And guess what mine was? $100. I gave her a pretty smile. I left, I went home, and I told my mom, I'm never going to work for that guy again. She said, what? What happened? I said, Jim Donahue gave Gary a check for $100. She said, what? 50, 60 bucks maybe. $100? That's crazy. Yeah, he only gave me $100 too. Wait a minute now. He gave you $100, you should have only gotten 50, 60 bucks. What are you upset about? He made my brother equal with me. You know that's not the way it's supposed to work. You know it, don't you? I mean, if somebody gets baptized like I did, 16 days old, and is preaching the gospel for 34 years as a pastor, don't you think I deserve a nicer mansion in heaven than some Johnny-come-lately that doesn't even go to church? And then at the last minute, they confess their sins, they repent, they get baptized, they enter the kingdom? You think they should get the same? My mom looked at me, and you know what she said? Jim Donahue is a fair man. He's a good man. Jim Donahue, it's his land, it's his crop, it's his money. Don't you think he can do what he chooses with what belongs to him? He didn't even have to give you a job. He gave you a job. And David, have you forgotten that Gary is your brother? Have you forgotten? Once we remember that those who work in the vineyard have the same master, they're brothers, they're sisters, why in the world would we begrudge someone else getting God's grace? Because we don't think it's fair? My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts. It's grace. It's for you and for me. God does not give us the light so that we can hide it or let Satan extinguish it. But God gives us the light. Ooh, look at that. That's bright. So that Jesus can shine in you and through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our hymn of the day.